Michael walked down the driveway to my side of the truck and looked at my brother, then at the passengers in the back seat. I rolled down the window. Hey, I said.
Harry, he said calmly, what are you doing here?
I just had a conversation with Praying Mantis Girl, I said. I held up a notebook where I'd scribbled down the angelic sigil while it still was fresh in my memory. Michael took a deep breath and grimaced, then he nodded.
I had a feeling they might be in town.
Oh? I asked. The front door of the house opened and a large, dark-skinned man appeared, dressed in blue jeans and a dark leather jacket. He wore a gym bag over one broad shoulder and had one hand resting casually inside it. He paced out into the cold and the snow as if he'd been wearing full winter weather gear rather than casual traveling clothes and stalked over toward us. Once he got close enough to make out the details, his face split into a broad, brief grin, and he hurried to stand beside Michael.
Harry,
he said, his voice deep, rich, and thick with a Russian accent.
We meet again.
I answered his grin.
Sonia,
I replied, offering my hand. He shook it with enough force to crack bones. What are you doing here?
Piercing through,
Sonia said, and hooked a thumb up at the snow.
I was on the last flight in before they closed the airport. Looks like I'm staying for a few days.
His eyes went from my face to the notebook, and the pleasant expression on his dark face turned to a brief snarl.
Somebody you know?
I asked.
Tessa,
he said.
And Imario.
You've met, huh? His jaw clenched again.
Tessa's second recruited me. Tessa is here?
With friends. I sketched the sigil I'd seen on the blackened denarius a few moments before and held it up to them. Sonia shook his head and glanced at Michael.
A carriole, Michael said at once.
I nodded.
He's in a Crown Royal bag in the ashtray.
Michael blinked. Sonia, too.
I hope you have one of those holy hankies. I'd have taken it to Padre Fort Hill, but I figured they'd have him under observation.
I need someplace quiet to hole up. Sonia and Michael traded a long, silent look. Sonia frowned, examining my brother.
Who is the vampire?
I felt Thomas stiffen in surprise. As a rule, even members of the supernatural world can't detect what a vampire of the White Court truly is, unless he's actually in the middle of doing something vampity. It's a natural camouflage for his kind, and they rely upon it every bit as much as a leopard does its spots. But it can be tough to hide things from a knight of the cross. Maybe it's part of the power they're given, or maybe it's just a part of the personality of the men chosen for the job. Don't ask me which. I'm fuzzy on the whole issue of faith and the Almighty, and I swim those waters with extreme caution and as much brevity as possible. I just know that the bad guys rarely get to sneak up on a knight of the cross, and that the knights have a propensity for bringing the truth to light. I met Sonia's gaze for a moment and said, he's with me. He's also the reason a carriole has a date with the inside of a vault. Sonia seemed to consider that for a moment. He glanced at Michael, who gave a grudging nod. The younger knight pursed his lips thoughtfully at that, his gaze moving to the back seat.